Hello and welcome to the Factory Founder Podcast. My name is Adam Wayfield, Managing Editor at Founders Factory Africa. On today's episode, we're speaking to Dennis Njuguna, Founder and CEO of Jungle Farm. Dennis, thanks for making the time. I know you're traveling at the moment. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you guys for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
No, thank you. I think a founder's time is your most finite resource in a way, because I'm sure you try put yourself in 10 different places at once if you could.
Yeah.
So thank you for speaking to us. But look, we don't stand in ceremony at the Factory Founder Podcast, so we had to talk about Jungle Farm.
Yeah.
So let's start with the value proposition. What are Jungle Farm's origins and what is the problem that you're trying to solve?
First problem, I'm not sure if it exists in South Africa, but in Kenya, the main problem is sourcing and management of pharmaceuticals. This is a big problem with the businesses because it was actually highlighted in 2020 when COVID hit. And the only thing that we're looking for was PPEs. That's your sanitizers, your masks, your gloves, etc. No one was actually remembering that, oh, we actually suffer from other diseases.
Mm.
Pushing back to around June, July of 2020, there was a huge shortage of medication in Kenya.
Mm.
It was actually further highlighted in around September when there was the outcry of the shortage of AIDS medication. And it occurred to people that people don't actually manage their business as well digitally. It's always pen and paper.
Mm.
And also sourcing of those products is an actual hassle as well. Yeah, that's basically the genesis and the value props to why Jungle Farm is existing.
I was going to ask you why is the problem important, but it's self-explanatory, access to medicines, efficiency of delivery, and I'd say the velocity of access to care.
Yeah.
All leads to improved healthcare.
Yes.
And if you're doing that, it's a social good, economic growth, it's all self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, given the size of the problem in the market, and you've just described that it's really, really large, what's the market opportunity? And in which markets do you operate?
I want to say market opportunity is large. Reason being, we're not the only players in the market.
Mm.
So we have different guys segmented. We know the famous Maidawa, who's a B2C. We have guys that we're also competing with called Maisha Meds. We have MedSource. So the market in itself, just to give you a scope, we have about 700 distributors in Kenya. Mm. And about 14 or 15 manufacturers, last we checked. And pharmacies are about 40 to 80,000, depending on the data sets that you get. If you get the outdated data set, it's obviously 40,000, but we hear there's an increase in terms of pharmacies. So the opportunity is large. It mostly depends on your value prop and who you're targeting. For Jungle, we're targeting the B2B, distributors and pharmacies, because those guys, they're the inlet of medicine and the exit of medicine when it comes to medicine getting to the country, medicine getting to the pharmacies, and now with the pharmacies, medicine getting to the end consumer. So that's where we're targeting, and we're hoping to more or less make the best out of it and to solve the problem when it comes to sourcing and delivery of medication.
What's been your greatest challenge since you founded Jungle Farm in January 2022? So it's almost 2 years old.
Adaptation. I think this goes without saying, the pharmaceutical market in Africa, this I think has been validated by also other players in West Africa, like Drugstock. Adaptation of digitization in the pharmaceutical industry in Africa is terrible, for lack of a better word.
Yes.
Most guys still want to remain with their old processes. You can even tell from how these guys get their licensing, how they go to school as well, how they study. Because I remember during COVID also, a few guys that we knew that were studying pharmacology had to go to class. There were no virtual classes. So adaptation, for you to get someone who's been operating on pen and paper, especially the informal pharmacies, to move digitally, it's not an easy task as we thought it would be. That, I'd say, would be the biggest challenge that we faced with Jungle.
It also made me think of pharmacy marts operating in Egypt. I remember speaking to the founder, Ahmed Kadous, and also digitization of very manual processes working at the pharmacy level because of the critical role. And same as in Nigeria, the critical role they play. There's no Nigeria, self-diagnosis is a major thing. So that's why it's one ecosystem, all trying to solve the same problems. You have so many people onboarded. I was going to ask, you're almost 2 years old, but you seem to have really done well from a customer acquisition point of view. What's your general approach? I'm asking more if I'm just a founder, asking another founder to tell me what's your secret. In terms of acquiring customers and speaking to them in a way that makes them think this is a product or service or business that I'd like to work with.
Yeah.
What's been your approach in that respect?
So to start with, we made the mistake of making a lot of assumptions without testing them out with the market. I can say 2022 was a huge learning curve because we didn't have active users up until December of 2022, pushing forward now to January. We built with a lot of assumptions. Oh, this would be cool if they used it. This would be nice if they used it. This would actually be a value add that we thought would be a value add. But it turns out that these guys actually didn't care. We weren't solving the problem in terms of the features. I've had this with many other founders. I always call the bull on it, to be frankly
yes,
honest.
Yes.
But up until you actually face it, that's when you realize that it's an actual issue.
Yes.
So going back and speaking to our customers and being like, we have this platform. This is what we can do. What works for you? What doesn't? From that point forward, we're talking to these guys on a weekly basis because we have field representatives that go to the field every single day, Monday to Saturday. Because Sundays, most of these guys don't work, aside from the pharmacies. Keeping them in the loop as well and keeping a lot of being in touch with helps with having them as regular user. So I can say we've more or less succeeded on the POS side. We're now transitioning to online orders, whereby now we'll actually be revenue generating in a good capacity. And we've even started having a lot of uptake from distributors as we move that direction. So I'd say having the customers close to your heart is key. You need to make these guys feel loved because you're not solving a problem for you, you're solving a problem for them.
100%. And I feel like you're getting in the right way around. You're starting a POS and moving on to online with trust. They're building that human connection first with the agents. There's a human face to attach to the Jungle Farm brand. And then it's, okay, it's a brand that we understand. We can then move on to the online platform. Making sure it has to work, different challenge. That's the technical question, the brand promise you have to keep.
Yeah.
But the value of human connection also, that seemed to stick out for me. Just talking more economically, we were chatting off air just about the Nairobi property market and even the Cape Town property market where we are. Are there any economic trends within the next year to two that may affect your customers? I know currency depreciation has been a challenge this year within the broader Kenyan environment. Interest rates are likely to remain high for the next year or two. So what other trends do you think may cause a challenge or be a pro for the business going forward?
So frankly speaking, we're seeing a downward turn in the market. I know it may not be good for a founder to say this, but it's a fact.
Yes.
Reason being, with the current taxation that we've all seen in Kenya, we're seeing major players leave the country in terms of manufacturers. We have the likes of GlaxoSmithKline. We have major distributors moving to set up in Rwanda, others in Tanzania. So getting those drugs into the country or the medication into the country will now be more costly.
Yes.
That will have an end result to the end consumer, whereby if you're used to buying, just for context, painkiller for $2, it will now be $3, $4, $5. We've already started seeing the impact when it comes to really original antibiotics. But also I can say that people are also getting smarter in terms of sourcing. So importers and distributors are also directly working with manufacturers with the data that they have. And we believe we can play a key role because from the usage of the platform, we can be able to know which medicine is moving where and why. Probably even have a small view on how trends are going. So with that, we can actually be able to have a bit of guidance, if you may say so, in terms of what is moving in the country and what isn't. And this can actually help people buy in advance in terms of the businesses and then sell to the end consumer. Or even be like, instead of wasting money on this side, let's use Jungo. Let's see where the drugs are moving most. And then we can actually plan our importation or even our manufacturing, because the end goal is to make sure that we also work with manufacturers to make medicine easily accessible to the end consumer in the long run.
And as much as it's a challenge, it does A, present an opportunity for you to add value to the customer.
Yes, it does.
And just to broaden your voice in markets.
Yes.
Especially if the gap is being created. Your challenge is to fill it.
Yes.
from a scale, as I say, scale. Can you scale? I'm going to pivot a bit. You don't strike me as an individual just based on your career and your educational background. You, before founding Jungle Farm, you were, and correct me if I'm wrong, the marketing executive for the Kenyan School of Flying.
Yes.
Based on what little research I was able to do.
Yeah.
And it just, that's quite different from what you do now, but what insights did you draw from that experience that you now apply on your work as Jungle Farm CEO?
Okay, so that's a bit of a backstory actually. So I got that title as soon as I left high school. I always wanted to study in Europe, especially Middlesex, do my MBA. But my parents are both doctors, so they all wanted me to do medicine. My mentor on the other side was like, you don't want to do medicine, you want to do business, I'll take you on, as long as you agree to take a course that will help you afterwards.
Yes.
So she owns Kenya School of Flying, my mentor. So when it came to seeing how to solve a problem, whether it's with adaptation, number one, whether it's actually speaking to people, that they didn't have, because the aviation industry is also not, it's modernized when it comes to the planes, but in terms of the processes on ground, like the flying schools and the small operations, most of them were not digitized a while back. So we tried as much as possible to bring insights of, if there's a better way to market the flying school to the younger generation, And I think we're successful in that because we ended up creating a holiday program whereby kids in high school could actually go during the holidays and study to get their private pilot license. So you find in Kenya, we have 4 years in high school. So you'll find by the time the guys get into their third year, he already has a private pilot license. So as soon as they clear, they have a PPL and they can start studying for a CPL, and then they can now move to flying commercial planes or getting a degree at TC. So yeah, that's the backstory of how I ended up at Kenya School of Flying. And how I saw my mentor running her business also made me think differently in terms of how best to go into a niche market, because you wouldn't expect a flying school to be all that. I mean, you see the famous ones like in South Africa, the 99 ZTC. But for her, being able to stay in the market since 1998 was, there was a lot to learn from that. And I think that has shaped how we also run Jungo.
Resilience, staying power.
Yes.
Okay, I've got a couple more questions. I know we're running out of time. Your schedule's probably looking pretty full for the next couple of days. Your parents are both doctors?
Yes.
Where do you lean in and lean out when speaking to them about it? Because they do provide, naturally I think it dictates depending on what their specialization may be, etc. But A, they are your parents, but are they able to provide beyond just your parental role and support that a parent could provide, just from a industry knowledge point of view? Has that been quite valuable? Just because in a sense, they're not the end user, but they deal with the end user, I was going to say symptoms and causes of the end user. Has that also been helpful, just beyond the emotional support you get from your parents?
Has been, yes. Okay. So doctors are the guys that prescribe medicine to you, and they're the guys that read your symptoms, understand what you're going through, so that they tell you you're supposed to take this. Well, building Jungo, I don't think we have a copycat in terms of how our data set looks like. Reason being, from their knowledge, we factored in active ingredients, which diseases do those active ingredients treat or solve, which brands are good, how do you differentiate original from generic, who are the players in the market, how do you get to know if these guys are licensed, how they're not licensed. So they did form the base, because we also got introduced to the pharmaceutical board in Kenya through them, whereby now for each and every pharmacy that's on the platform, it's verified. We have an API key that helps us verify. And frankly, I don't think we could get that without them. So a few points in terms of displaying medicine, to also abide by the laws of the board, and also the different segments as to where medicine plays. You'll find that it's not really understood by people like us guys. We know painkillers, antibiotics. For those that know antihistamines, it's a plus. But for them, you actually have to have a whole breakdown, because it's not the end consumer that's using our platform, it's businesses. Yeah. And these guys understand what exactly they're selling. So I want to say the main functionality of the data set, of creating the data set, came from them. It also helps that I did data science. So getting what they know and what I studied and compiling it into one to make sure that we have a good data set was very helpful at the start.
I guess the lesson is, yeah, I know they happen to be your parents, super convenient, but if you operate in different sectors, find experts that literally are deep embedded in the sector through the nature of their work.
Yeah.
Because they will know the T's and C's, who are the important players, and how the ecosystem actually functions.
Yes.
Last question, what is your view on networking within the ecosystem, and can you provide any personal experiences that have helped shape your approach about how you network and meet people?
You know, sometimes people say networking is a scam, the same way people say Forex is a scam, so to speak. People see networking events as a time-wasting event for people, but I choose to see it differently. Reason being, through a networking event, we actually got our head of growth today, who's helped us close a few distributors. We also met Founders Factory through networking. We introduced Founders Factory by a friend of ours called Victor Miner. He runs the company called Duka. He's also doing Jungo's logistics. And if we hadn't gone to that networking event, we wouldn't have met with Adelaide, and then we wouldn't be having this conversation. So I'd say I'd echo what most people, what was said a while back in terms of your network is your net worth, and I actually believe that to be true over the past year.
And I'm going to use a very, very boring metaphor. If you have many fishing lines in the sea, a lot of them, it takes time.
Yes.
It's a bit of a craft.
Yeah.
But your chances of success has certainly improved if you put in the hard work.
Definitely.
Okay, Dennis, that's going to wrap it up. Really appreciate you sharing your time with me just to discuss Jungo Farm.
No problem.
That's going to wrap it. And I guess last question, if anyone wants to learn more about Jungo Farm and reach out, where should they go?
We have a site that's jungofarm.com, but also I'm happy to always have one-on-one conversations with people because I believe we're solving a problem that gets to the end user. So my LinkedIn is always open if someone wants to learn more about Jungo. I don't believe in someone just going to the site and reading it. I believe people have personal questions.
100%.
As I did as well when it came to speaking to different guys in the sector. So instead of just going to the site, my LinkedIn is always open. Dennis Chiguna, obviously, is my name that's on there. And from LinkedIn, I know you can also get my email address. And I'll also happily respond to any questions that come by.
So to get you, LinkedIn's the best way to go.
Yes.
And find you and people.
Or maybe also talk to Lorraine or Adelaide at Founders Factory as well.
Please, reach out to us too. We are definitely listening. And just to compliment the investments team, they are super market facing. They always love having a chat. But as you said, it's an important part of how we collaborate and grow together and critically share insights and knowledge. Dennis, thank you so much. And with that, that is The Factory, building in Africa. Dennis Chiguna has been the founder on today's show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.